We are always incredibly blessed when Pastor Doc shares and opens God's Word and teaches us. Always good. We know it's going to be good. It's going to be rich. It's going to be deep. It's going to be anointed. You're going to be blessed. So I'm not going to take any more of his time. Would you join me in honoring and welcoming our granddaddy pastor, Pastor Doc Shell. We love you
Thank
much.
You,
Come on up and shuck the corn.
Thank you, Pastor. Love you. Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much. Well, what a joy to do this and to have my pastor and his wife sitting out there. Makes you feel like a lion in a room full of Daniels, you know. So love these guys. I was actually this morning, I was in my quiet time with the Lord. Some mornings, not always, but some mornings I just want to say, Lord, I don't want to ask you for anything. I just want to visit and thank you. So, this went on, I don't know for how long. I just thanking him, and I got to the place to where I thought of Pastor Eddie and Mickey. And this is what I said to him. I said, Lord, thank you that you've allowed June and I to live the rest of what we have on earth with a pastor like Pastor Eddie and Mickey. Thank you for that. And thank you all for being my brothers and sisters. Praise God. I say it a lot of times, but how many would rather be here than in jail tonight? Lift your hand. Praise God. Me too. Lord, breathe upon us tonight a breath from heaven. Let us just share, Lord, what you want shared, nothing more, nothing less. Grant the anointing that breaks the yoke. Grant us hearts that can hear and eyes that can see. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to talk to you about is, and I think this, you know, when you come to a Wednesday night like you guys, we can talk like we're going to talk tonight. But I want to talk to you about the door to more. Here's the whole idea. If you can find the door to more, you can get more. You all ever been to one of those house of mirrors in, used to be in carnivals or state fairs? I've never been in one, but I've seen people who endured to the end. You go in, and the objective is that once you enter, is getting out the other side. But then you've got all of these reflections and mirrors and doors and that are not there, and so you have to go through that maze to get to the other end. How many know that life is full of doors you can walk through? Some are empty, but they entice us. Here's what I found out. When we get saved, when we truly get born again, the Spirit of God begins to create in all of us the desire for more. It's just in us. God, the Spirit, is just there causing us to want more. Now, here's what I found. We're going to look at a number of scriptures. If you have your Bible or whatever you're using, go to that familiar passage in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. I will read it quickly and then talk about it. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's look at it. First of all, Jesus said blessed, and it's not happy. It's not just being happy, because you know what happiness is dependent on happenings. If the happenings happen like you want them to happen, you're happy. But joy, matter of fact, I was in a place, a business today, and a gentleman just starts talking to me about the Bible, and I talked to him. I said, yeah, there's a difference in joy and happiness. And I told him basically what I said to you. He goes, wow. I'm thinking, wow, it's in the book. I mean, you know, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus starts out with is what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. If you were to look at that in the original, it would be something like, blessed are those who continually are repeatedly hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or fully satisfied. Now that's in the Bible. And you know, Jesus said in John 6:35, you don't have to turn there, he said, he was and is the bread and the water that came down from heaven. So all of our nourishment is all centered in him. I just thought tonight was just awesome. I loved it. So there is in all of us a work of God's Spirit to create or restore what may have faded or slipped away. Just a hunger to find the door where there's more. Pastor Eddie, I thought about you a number of times. I don't know how many times we'd be talking and he'd say, more, Lord, more, Lord. And so tonight we're here to look at the subject and to give some warnings along the way that your hunger for vertical and thirst for him and more of him can slip away. And it's amazing how easily that can happen in the church. In John chapter 7, if you want to go over there with me, in the 7th chapter of John, and again, as I said, we'll look at a number of scriptures. And I love this scripture. It says in verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast. Some say it was the Feast of Tabernacles. It doesn't matter. They had gone through the ritual or the form of life. And it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried out, saying, now look at it with me. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. The Holy Spirit was not yet given at Pentecost because Jesus had not yet died and was not yet glorified. Let's look at that for a minute. Number one, he said the last day, the great day of the feast. They had already gone through it all. You understand? These are Abrahamic covenant folks that are going through the ritual of all of this. But they're still hungry and thirsty. Religion never does satisfy. It just demands without life. And then Jesus stood out crying. He said, if you're hungry and thirsty, come to me. I wrote in my notes because I felt the unction of the Lord. When you get to Jesus, when you get there, keep drinking. Don't come for a sip. Come to drink and 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 drink some more. I think that's what Jesus was saying. For he who believes in me and continually believes, the work of the Spirit will be this. He will bring us into a hunger and thirst so we can eat and drink and eat and drink and eat and drink till we see him face to face. That's God's plan for all of us. Now, I got 4 points, and we'll be out by midnight, I promise. Here's the first one. Here's the first point I want to talk to you about. If we ignore our hunger and thirst created by the Spirit and take a substitute, if we substitute something for trying to satisfy that hunger and thirst, the hunger and thirst will fade. There's two appetites. We have the natural appetite. I just ate a sandwich before I came, so I'm not hungry. But I was before I ate the sandwich. I will be hungry again because in the natural, we get hungry and we eat. The interesting thing, spiritually speaking, hunger and thirst works like this. The more you eat and the more you drink, the thirstier and the hungrier you become. There's something I can't explain here. So Pastor can do it for us. But something I can't, how God lets us eat and drink of him in his word by his Spirit and be so satisfied and yet hungry at the same time. Have you ever noticed that things that you really like, a bite of them just causes you to want more? Have you ever, we do this sometimes in the winter especially, you know, 8 o'clock at night. You don't need to do that at 8 o'clock, but who cares? But anyway, at my age, who cares? But anyway, at 8 o'clock, I'll pop a bowl of popcorn, and I love popcorn. And I sit down with that popcorn. Do you think I could just pick up one grain and eat it? You got to be kidding. My objective is the bottom of the bowl, and I usually reach it. We've been doing this not too long. You can go to Sam's and get this sack of dark chocolate with nuts ground up in it. Boy, when you eat one bite, my God, there's something comes on you. It's called more. Isn't that right? Just eat one bite. And you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. One bite of Jesus makes you want more of Jesus. But if we substitute our hunger and thirst, things fade and the edge is lost. And here's what I've noticed after 50 years of ministry. Here's what I've noticed. When the hunger and thirst begins to fade a little, you take on a form instead of walking in the hunger and the thirst you once had. I found this in you may want to turn that with me because I do want to get into it. In Matthew 13, again, what we're talking about here is if you substitute your vertical hunger and thirst with something else, you can you can substitute doing good, ministry, fill in the blank. And that can be all good, but it doesn't satisfy the hunger and thirst. In Matthew 13, I'll try to do it quickly. In Matthew 13, in verse 10, the disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak, now watch this, to them in parables?" Not us, them. And so Jesus begins to answer that. This is why he spoke in parables. Again, these were Abrahamic covenant folks for the most part. Now, he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you as a disciple to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Why? Well, I think we go down to the next verse. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance." When you have a hunger and thirst and you're eating and drinking, you want more and more and more, and you just eat and drink yourself into abundance. But then the other part of the verse says, "Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." It fades, and you begin to lose, and you begin to lose. You can keep coming to church, or you can keep whatever, fill in the blank. But that thing inside of you that craves the Lord Jesus and who he is and what he's done, craves the word, craves the Spirit of God working in your life, that hunger and thirst can fade away. When it does, something starts to happen. Here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 13. Jesus spoke to them in parables because, and let me just paraphrase it for time, seeing they didn't see, hearing they didn't hear. In other words, the other believers heard, but the you people Jesus is talking to, they saw it, they heard it, them did not. Why? It's because their hunger was gone. It was not there. Why did the religion of Jesus' day so reject him? It's because he didn't fit into their form. But the hunger and thirst they should have had would have been greater than the form they're living in. Now, so what's your point, preacher? The church in America very easily can take on a form and develop a churchianity without a biblical Christianity of hunger and thirst for who, not only what he can do, but who he is. The more we discover who he is, the more we're going to see what he will do. So when we substitute anything for our hunger and thirst, we substitute anything but a vertical drinking and eating, that hunger and thirst will begin to fade. My second point is this. If hunger and thirst fades, then God has a ways and means committee. I think I've met some of them. But anyway, God has a ways and means committee. Now listen, that will arrange circumstances so you'll realize how much you need him. Did you ever notice that? I've noticed this, and certainly don't apply to you. You're here tonight. I've noticed people who would come to church and then they would not come Sunday, and they'd be there the next Sunday. And you could tell they were convicted about not coming, but after a while of skipping and missing and putting, it didn't bother them anymore. What's happening? The hunger, the passion, the thirst is fading. And so what does God do? He loves us so much. You know what he does? He arranges circumstances so we realize how much we need him. You ever notice we're just creatures like this? You know, I walk in the room and we're here tonight and I flip on the switch and there's a light. I go to the refrigerator and there's cold whatever and turn on the stove and cook whatever. And then the power goes out for 2 days. And when it came on, you prophesied, went speaking in tongues all over the house. Because a ways and means committee let you know how much you needed what you were taking for granted. Now, I found this in the 106th Psalm. Again, if you'd like to go there with me quickly. God's Ways and Means Committee in the 106th Psalm. It says in verse 13, now watch this. Every word of it, they soon forgot his works. Isn't it easy to do that? I've heard too many folks say, Lord Jesus, you just heal my wife or my husband. Lord, I'll serve you all the days of my life. I haven't seen them since. You know that. Look at it. How soon they forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But the word lusted, and don't just get caught up in some sexual thing here. It's strong desires in access happened to them in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. Now watch this verse. And he gave them their request. And you know, Israel wanted a king, and God said, you don't need a king, but he gave them what they wanted, but they regretted it. I don't always know what I want or what I need. I remember being in Amsterdam at Schiphol Airport. We were, June and I with another couple, working our way back home from Africa. We had a 7-hour layover, and so we're sitting just, you know, how boring can it get to wait 7 hours for your next flight? So we're sitting there, and when I travel international like that, I always wear a fanny pack because I can put everything there and keep it handy. Well, anyway, I'd go to the bathroom. So I go down to the bathroom, and it's flooded. There's water everywhere. And I walk into the bathroom and I said, Lord Jesus, don't let me go into the stall that's broke. Now that was my prayer. So I went into the stall, took off my fanny pack, and looked around. It was the broken commode. Well, I fussed about it to myself. And went on back, sat down with June and the other couple in an hour or two, I don't know. I go like this. It's not there. Every dime I had, my passport, everything to get me out of that country and back in this one, I had left in the bathroom. So I'd take off back down to the bathroom. And the maintenance guy is working in the broken commode. And he spoke enough English that we could communicate. And I said, sir, did you see a fanny pack hanging up in here? Was it black? I said, yes, Lord, it was black. He said, I found it. And I put it in lost and found, and you can go get it. Now, how many of you know if God had answered my stupid prayer, I'd have still been in Amsterdam? Hey, you know, there's sometimes we need God's wisdom to know how to ask for what we need to ask. And so when I look at this, I see I see this psalm and I hear the Lord said, okay, I'll give you what you want. But look, if you will, look at the latter part. He gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness into their soul. Sent leanness into their soul. When you lose hunger and thirst, you can get leanness in your soul. I remember Donnie Fritz wrote a song here a few years ago. He's in heaven now. And he talked to me about it. He said, I wrote this song, Doc. He said, here's the song. I didn't know he was all I needed till he was all I had. It's a pretty profound statement. I've heard him sing it. But I just say, Lord Jesus, your ways and means committee, help me to see how much I need to stay hungry and thirsty for you. Third point, when things fade, the Ways and Means Committee works on our vertical desperation is a forward motion to the door for more. Let me say it again. Our vertical desperation is forward motion toward the door for more. And I said, Lord, where in Scripture is that? You come up with this, and then quickly I felt in my heart the Lord spoke to me. Let me show you a picture of what you just said. Vertical desperation is forward motion to finding the door where there's more and more and more. The story in 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, you know it well, the two sons, the father had two sons. One of the sons got his inheritance, took off to the far country. We don't know how long he stayed, but I found in Scripture, and I think it's so practical for me and for us as we talk about never allowing our hunger, our thirst, our passion to wane. Keep it hot. By God's grace. Because in the 15th chapter of Luke in verse 17, if you want to turn there, I mean, you know, the old boy's in bad shape. He done been used and used and reused. In verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to eat, to share, to spare, and I perish with hunger. First thing, he got hungry physically. But the second thing is that I'll arise and go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. There was a hunger in his heart, not only for something to put in his belly, but there was a hunger to be hungry and thirsty. And when he got that way, guess what he did? I will arise. I love that story. I've read it many times. I mean, you know, the other boy stayed home, but he had dead religion working in him. This was a wild boy. And I can see the father in my imagination. I can see the father. He never sent somebody to hunt him. But I believe maybe, just maybe, every morning about the crack of dawn, he stood on the back porch. Thought maybe today he'll be home. That was the father's love. Maybe, I said. And that day he walked out about the crack of dawn on the back porch, and way in the distance he saw a little dust. And he kept watching, and then he realized that was his boy coming home. I believe he jumped off that porch, and in country terminology, lit out to running. And met that boy. Now, that old boy, listen, he wasn't cleaned up. He just came out of a pig pen. In the Hispanic language, he el stunko. The boy smelled to high heaven. Didn't seem to bother the father because he, if you read it in the original, he grabbed that boy and it says, and he kissed him. And he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him, and he kissed him. You see, this hunger and thirst isn't God trying to manipulate us. It's trying to get us into Him at such a level that we are kissed and hugged and loved, and it becomes so intimate vertically, you give it away to your world. Revelation chapter 21, my last point, verse 6, and then maybe just share something with you. Verse 6. Here it is. God, I mean, you know, when God tells you something that He's going to do, He's going to do it. Do you realize here tonight, and you come on Wednesday night, and I know, I mean, you know, you guys are passionate for the Lord, but I'm going to tell you right now, the church in America needs an awakening of a hunger and thirst, not for a churchianity, but for a Jesus Christ who is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. We need a restoration in this country of a hunger and thirst for who He is. Blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty. They shall be fully satisfied. Verse 6, I love it. When Jesus said, and He said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now watch this. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to everyone who's thirsty. All you have to do is come. You know that everybody that ever came to Jesus, anybody in the scriptures that we find, did you know nobody that needed healing ever got to Jesus that didn't get healed? You know what our problem is? Getting to Jesus. We got through a maze. Sometimes we got to go through this and this and crawl through this and get through this. And we just get to some form without the person of Jesus. But then I end here, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's in Isaiah. If you want to turn there, it's Isaiah 55. He said, oh, listen to it. Everyone who thirsts, come. All you got to do is come. My goodness. I was talking today to a pastor in Texas, and he has a radio station and a TV station, which is about 1 million strong on each side of the, and in the particular county that he lives in, he said, I offered to the pastors in that county free 15 minutes a day to broadcast whatever God's saying to you. And he got no takers. Free. What's the problem? I think there's a hunger and thirst. You know what upset the Pharisees about Jesus? He upset their religious form that was making them richer. And then when this, and I believe this now. I mean, you don't have to believe this to go to heaven. I believe it. I believe we in America and around the world are pressing toward the greatest move of God this planet has ever seen. I believe America is, this is what I believe. I believe we're pressing toward it, and we're going to see people brought into the kingdom that we'll just shake our head. And I do believe in the middle of all of that, hell will be breaking loose against what God's doing. But when the last has heard the gospel of the kingdom, the trumpet will sound and the king will come. I believe that's ahead of us. This pastor I was talking to today, matter of fact, let me back up. I went to the drugstore today, and there's a lady that works in the drugstore we go to, and she goes to the Rock over in Huntsville. She said, we had a baptizing Sunday. I said, you did? I said, how many did you? Over 100 got baptized. The guy in Texas today I was talking to, he said at John Hagin's church they had a baptizing Sunday, had over 500 baptized. What I'm telling you is this. God can, God can, a Ways and Means Committee to create again a passion, a hunger, a thirst vertically for Him, not just what He can do, but for who He is. If you want a marriage to work, get beyond what she can do for you and celebrate who she is. Jesus, you know, when you read about Israel, Israel saw what God was doing, but Moses knew His ways. And so here it is, come. And then the prophet said, when you come, buy what you need. Buy it with what? Hunger and thirst. I like what Bill Johnson said. I heard he said it. I've never heard him. That's the currency of heaven. You're up to the throne of God. Lord Jesus, I'm so hungry and thirsty for You. You know what? You know what happens when we bring our hunger and thirst? Revelation and submission. And guess what? We're not eating hamburgers anymore. We're down to steakhouse eating filet mignon. See, it's, and I may have told you, it's like the story I heard many years ago, the two missionaries coming home with no money and ate cheese and crackers all the way home while everybody else was dining. To find out when they got to the States, when they got their ticket, all of the other was included. I think one of the things when all of us see the Lord is when we find out what we could have had and didn't. But it won't be about stuff. It'll be about Him. Come. What do you do when you get there? Buy. When you get it, what do you do with it? You eat it. I love watermelon. Don't y'all love watermelon? You can't go to heaven if you don't love watermelon. But anyway, When I was a little boy, because I was a farm boy, my dad always would plant, bunches of watermelons. And he knew how to grow them, I mean, you know. And we'd grow so many watermelons, we would feed them to our hogs. I mean, brother, just get a wagon load and go, can you imagine now what you could get for them? It's a fortune what them hogs ate up. So, but when we go out in the watermelon patch, as we called it, we didn't cut one open. We take one of them big old melons and we learn how to do it. You just gently drop it and it bursts open. And there's a heart in it about that big. And we'd eat that thing till we'd about bloated. Why? It's because we loved watermelon. That's a natural thing. One of the things that I, this is for me, that I pray for myself, and I mean it, and God knows my heart. Here's what I pray. Lord, give me the grace to be totally, absolutely Yours. If God will give me the grace just to be His, I mean, no strings attached. Not like Peter said, well, I wouldn't. Peter was talking out of his head. He wasn't talking out of his heart. But that's my prayer. Lord, don't let me lose my passion, my hunger and thirst for You. And give me grace that I can be, without reservation, Yours. I'll tell you one more thing. Well, anyway, I'm trying, you know, I hadn't arrived yet. You can ask June, she can tell you that. But anyway, I haven't arrived yet, but this has been some time back, and we were going over to Crow Mountain where we buy apples in apple season. Some of you have eaten some of those. Once you've eaten a Crow Mountain apple, you throw rocks at everything else. But anyway, they're wonderful, June, and I love them, and we eat them during the season. So they're over on Crow Mountain, other side of Huntsville. So anyway, some people are in the church and friends of ours wanted some. And so we had a list of who wanted some apples. We're going to make an apple run. That's what we call it. And so I heard the Lord. I didn't hear, you understand, I didn't have a thought. I heard the Lord in my house go, you just buy all their apples. I said, Well, all right. See, I'd been saving down in the little office downstairs at home in a little thing. June didn't know it, so I had to tell her. And I'd saved up $400 in my little, you know, bank bag for a rainy day. And now it was about to rain. So I went down there and got a $100 bill, and I said, okay, I'll pay for it. So we got to Crow Mountain and bought all the apples that people wanted. And I said, how much I owe you? She said, $100. Isn't that interesting? Not $101, $100. I said, okay. Well, I wasn't thinking about anything else for that. We got the apples, and I don't know, days passed. I'm back down to the office, and I just happened to open the drawer where the little bank bag is and unzipped it. And I knew what was there because I had four of them. Now there's three of them. And I looked down there at them. Now, you can put this wherever you want to. Bless God, it happened to me. And I go, one, two, three, four. It was 10 of them. Lord Jesus, look at the day, 10, $100 bill. How did they get in there? I have no idea. But I know this, if we walk with a passion and a thirst to just say yes to him, I didn't ask him to give me, you know, $700 more down there. It just was. Now, I've gone back two or three times since, ain't nothing down there. I can tell you right now, it worked once. I mean, you know. Well, let me ask you this. Be honest with you. You know why the prodigal came back home? He came to himself. He got honest. And when he was honest, he said, I'm hungry. I've been eating with the pigs. But I'm going back to my daddy and saying, I was wrong, daddy. I want my hunger and my thirst. I want your relationship back in my life. Would you, I'm putting myself at the point here, would I be able to say to God tonight, I've let my hunger and thirst fade a little bit. And on this Wednesday night, I'm asking God to begin to restore. Because that's all you can do, is be honest. I mean, you know, you don't have to confess anything to inform God. You confess it to agree with him. But would I be willing tonight to say, okay, Lord, and Brother Doc's talked about this, and Lord, would you brighten my hunger and thirst? Not for churchianity. Nothing wrong with being part of the church. It's a biblical, we need to be. I'm talking about a vertical, intimate, caring relationship with Jesus Christ. Many, many times, I'll be honest with you, I confess, I will say, thank you, Lord. And then it's just like the Spirit says, wait a minute. Did you mean that? No, I didn't. It was just a religious thing. So I'll just stop. And I'll just say, Lord, I do thank you. And when I mean it, I have the witness of the Lord. You see how easy it is to just get into something and lose the life of it. Lose the hunger and thirst that goes with it. Let's pray together. Maybe the worship team. Maybe just play something. It doesn't. Every head bowed. Father, I just thank you now. And I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's just for me, Lord. But I know there's a door to more. And Lord, none of us here, none of us want to allow the hunger and the thirst that we once had to fade away. We pray tonight, Lord, that first of all, you would forgive us where we've let a substitute take the place of what we once enjoyed. And I just pray for all of us. And Lord, I put myself out front. I just pray for all of us tonight to be so honest that I can say, Lord Jesus, begin in me this Wednesday night to create that hunger and thirst that lets me live a fulfilled life and staying hungry all at the same time. Well, your head is bowed and nobody's coming. And this is between you and him. Would that be you and you, and I'm going to pray and then pastor's coming. Would you just put your hand up to God, not to me, but to God, and put it back down and go, Lord, I want to begin a renewal moment of my hunger and thirst. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. I want to begin. Tonight is my night. I'm making a decision in my heart. This is not cranial. This is heart. All over the building. Jesus, as we sang tonight, Lord, Jesus, you have no rival. You have no equal. I just pray, Lord, for us at Grace House tonight that this will just be a seed of a beginning of a Holy Ghost fire that'll sweep across this region. Our jobs, wherever we find ourselves, that our passion for you will be preeminent. Thank you. Thank you for every precious hand that went up. May this night be a marked night for the rest of our life. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you say amen? God bless you. Love you guys. Give the Lord a God bless you. Put your hands together, would you? Come on, Pastor.
Wow. Wasn't that awesome? I mean, it's such a good word. Everyone needs to hear that. I want more. There always is more. We'll be up here after we dismiss. If anyone needs prayer, always here to pray with you, believe with you for God to meet your need. Sure appreciate you being here tonight. And thank you, Pastor Doc, for all you put into that, because we sure received a lot from it. So would you stand with me? Father, again, thank you for your word delivered here tonight. Awaken hunger in us, Lord. Awaken desire. Quicken us. Help us to have those come to ourself moments and rise up. Lord, we love the fact that you challenge us enough to change. You change us. We pray tonight that throughout the night and when the light breaks upon the dawn of tomorrow, that this word would still linger in our hearts. Now may God's peace fill your heart and mind and guard them. May God's grace empower you to labor abundantly for your King, yet knowing it's not you, but it's Him doing it. I remind you that He's faithful, He's called you, and He will do it. He began that good work in you. He will bring it to completion. Let's not wrestle with Him about that. Let's say yes. Yes to all you have for us, Lord. Let's hold our hands up a moment. Yes to everything you have for us. Yes to the more. Yes to more hunger, more thirst. Lord Jesus, you said, how much more would you give the Holy Spirit if we ask? So, Lord, more. May we have more of your fullness, more of the fullness of your Spirit, more of your love in our life, more of your word in our life, more fellowship with one another, more intimacy with you. Thank you again, Lord, for tonight. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint us as we leave here to be witnesses unto you by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed evening.